physician, especially if you have some kind of physical issue. Please talk to your physician. Everyone say, talk to your physician. Right? And you want to consult. If you are pregnant, you can fast. And I would encourage you, if you're pregnant, to fast the things that are not healthy for your baby. White sugar, white flour, alcohol, whatever. What? It's not good for your baby. Your baby's in there, I can't wait to be born. You know? whatever it is, but it's about giving up something so you can pursue God in your life. And we're going to talk all next week. Next week's sermon is all about the fast, and so we're going to give you the ins and outs of it. But I want to give you a head start in thinking about it as you process it in your brain and get your heart ready. I would encourage you in this. Do not fast the way and the length that you want, because it is absolutely not about you. It's about God. Okay, of course, it's going to impact you, but it's about you doing what God wants. Amen? And you putting yourself in a position to understand what it means to do what God wants. And so I want to encourage you to be thinking about that. It's going to start a week from tomorrow. We'll talk next Sunday about it. Go get books. Go to our bookstore. Go online. Go into other bookstores. Learn about it. And then hopefully God will do something in your life. We're very excited about it. Number two, we've been raising money the end of last year. We talked about raising the $11 million to refinance our building and to start construction in East County. So far, we raised $6.6 million. So let's give the Lord a hand on that. Amen. And I will tell you this, that God has brought another bank into our life and is kind of saying, no, we want the loan. And they got some different terms that are more favorable to us. And I am by faith. Everyone say, by faith. This is not a guarantee. So if you say, hey, Miles said we're going to do this at this time, I'm not saying that. But I, by faith, I am praying that in January we'll start construction in East County. By faith, I'm saying that by faith. So God's doing some things. So we appreciate the giving and the people who are still giving. Stuff is still coming in. But I just want to give you an update on that, and we'll keep you updated on all of that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. By the way, if you are a visitor, we take our offering at the end when you walk out. There are boxes by all the exits, and you'll put it in this envelope, and we'll pray at the end for that, just so you know. Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray that you bless our service. I pray you bless us as we go through the book of Acts, that you would transform our life and that we can really let go. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will also ask you personally to pray for me, because I feel like I'm getting that flu bug thing. So just please pray that I don't get it like Ricky Ricardo. I don't. You know. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Word. Yes, I'm sorry. Let's see your Bible. See your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time, Rock Church. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Acts 17. We are starting a series in the book of Acts, and we are going to start in chapter 17. That doesn't make any sense. Acts 17. I have two brothers and two sisters. My youngest brother was a quarterback in college in the NFL. He was the number one rated passer in the nation in college. He was a Heisman runner-up in 1987. His name is Don McPherson, played at Syracuse University. I have another brother who was a boxer, ranked 20th in the world, fought in Golden Gloves in New York several times. And then I have two sisters. They didn't do anything. They were just there, you know, just eating the food. They didn't do anything athletically, okay? So, but my middle brother, the boxer, fought amateur and pro. And in amateur boxing, when you get knocked down, they count to 10. And if you get up before 10, they give you what they call a standing 8 count. So you're standing up, and then they count to 8 to give you more time to recover. It's kind of a safety measure. And then at the end of 8, they ask you how you're doing. because you could be standing up and be knocked out. And if they're not sure how you're doing, they'll say, we're going to stop the fight. And that usually, no, I'm okay. So my brother's friend, Golden Gloves, New York, got knocked down. He gets up. Guy gives him a standing eight count. And then he says, how you doing? And my brother's friend goes, okay. Now, because some brothers really talk like that, the ref wasn't sure if he was knocked out or that's how he really talked. So he said, I think we're going to stop the fight. And my brother's friend said, I think that's a good idea. He said, that guy over there hits hard. When you become a boxer, you have to understand that you are going to get in a ring with someone who is trained to hurt you. And their full intention is to beat you up. It's not a mystery. This is not like, I don't think that guy's mad at me. I don't know, we're going to be friends. No, he is there to beat you up. And you need to know that. When you become a Christian, you have to understand there is somebody there who wants to beat you up. They don't want you to just not go to church. They want to beat you up. They want to destroy your reputation. They want to destroy your health, your relationships, everything. That's the devil. And he does it through people. And a lot of times, Christians don't realize the extent of the battle. And yet we want to, the devil's saying to us every day, I think I want to stop the fight. And we're going, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I don't want to be in a fight. I don't want to be criticized. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. I don't want people to label me a bigot or whatever. So I'm just going to fly under the radar. Okay? A lot of Christians live that way. Some of y'all don't even bring your Bible to church. Why that is, I don't know. We use it every week. We're not going to put the verses on the screen. If that's what you're waiting for, that ain't going to happen. And we intentionally do that because we want you to have a Bible. And so, but you don't read your Bible to church because, I don't know, maybe you don't want people seeing you walk with a Bible. It's Sunday. So you'll never bring it to work. And you'll never pray for people at church, at your job or in the mall. I ain't going to do that. I got to fly under the radar. But I don't want to talk about necessarily avoiding the drama of being a Christian. We'll get to that later. But more so this. Not only do Christians underestimate the battle, the spiritual battle that it is to walk with Christ, Christians, I think, and this may be even more important, underestimate the blessing of walking with God. You underestimate the power that you have and the miracles that God wants to do in and through you. And so this series, we're going to talk about the life. Everyone say the life. We're going to talk about the life and the life that God wanted you to have. As we look through the book of Acts, we're going to see people who are living the life that God intended the church to live. And so we could grasp the kind of life that God has for you. Because, and this is not a guess, I know for a fact, more Christians than not are living subpar lives than what God has for them. They're not living plan A, they're living plan B. Except plan B ain't God's plan B, it's your plan B. He don't have a plan B. He wants your life to be supernatural. Okay. So let's give a little background on the book of Acts. Book of Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament. Everyone say the fifth book. Everyone sit up straight. Put your booty back in your seat. Sit up straight. I want participation. Let's go. New year. Okay. Y'all ready? Take a deep breath in. Say Jesus. Very good. The book of Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament. The book of Acts is the what book of the book? Fifth. Say it again. Fifth. Say it three times. Very good. The author is Luke. Everyone say Luke. Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Same guy. Luke was a doctor. What was his occupation? Doctor. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. And what was his occupation? Doctor. Two B words. Say birth. Say bridge. Say birth. Say bridge. Very good. The book of Acts is a 30-year history. Is a story of the 30-year history. How many year history? 30. Of the birth of the church. Say the birth of the church. Say birth. Of the what? The book of Acts is an account of the how many year history? Of the what? Of the? Very good. It's also a bridge from the Gospels to the rest of the New Testament. It's a bridge between the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. It's a what? Bridge. It's a what? Bridge. Say it three times. Bridge. It's also a? Bridge. Say it again. Bridge. Of the? Bridge. And who wrote it? And what was his occupation? And how many year history is the book of Acts? Very good. And it's the what book of the New Testament? Very good. So in the book of Acts, you like that. Here we go. Hey, let's give you some hand. Come on now. There's four main characters, a lot of main characters, four main characters, three people and one person. Four persons, three people. Three of them are people, one of them is not. Peter, Philip, and Paul, all start with a P. Say Peter, say Philip, say Paul, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person, but not a people, not a human. In other words, your personhood is not your body. It's your personality, your ability to have a relationship, your ability to love, your ability to communicate God. That's your person. This is the shell of the person. God is the person without the body. Spirits are people, persons, they're not humans. They're persons, though. Demons, good spirits, bad spirits, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God can talk to you, have a relationship with you, has personality, can be grieved, has emotions. Those are persons. All of us are persons, but we're humans because we have a body. So in the book of Acts, you had Peter, Philip, and Paul, but then you had the Holy Spirit, a person. That's why God made us in his image so he can live inside of us. He's a person, we're a person. He lives inside of us, and he matches our personhood. Speaks through us, feels through us, gives us vision, acts through us, made us in his image so he could fit like a hand in a glove. Okay? So, in the book of Acts, it's all about, your Bible may say the Acts of the Holy, Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Everyone say Holy Spirit. Take a deep breath in. Say Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's not about you and him. It's not about the apostles. It's about the Holy Spirit. Okay? But I want you to read this one verse, because this is what it's all about. It says, chapter 17, verse 7. And don't worry about the context. I'm just going to get this one verse, because we'll come to this later on in the series. It says in verse 6, when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out. And this is the sentence I want to focus on. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Everyone say, turn the world upside down. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say, turn the world upside down. So here's what God says. I am going to start the church. And I'm going to give the church the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give the church power when the Holy Spirit comes on them. And they are going to be witnesses to me in the world and turn the world upside down. That is not happening, at least here in the United States of America. It's not. Why? Because the church is not being what the church was created to be. The church is having meetings on Sunday, where people don't come every week to. The church is not being who the church was created to be. So our prayer is that through this series, we become individually and collectively more of who God created us to be. And that as a result, the world will be turned upside down. Your world individually, that means there's stuff you're doing now that you won't do anymore. And the stuff you're not doing, you will do anymore. I can tell you, if you fast, it will rock your world. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you in here have been high before. Or intoxicated. But let's go for it. Anybody want to admit it? There we go. Look at all these drug addicts. Drug crackheads up in church. Amen. Look at it. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead. You're rocking. You need to be in here. Crackheads need to be in church. Someone the other day said, I don't go to church because all hypocrites in church. That's exactly where hypocrites need to be, right here in church. You don't see people saying, I'm not going to the Charger game because there's hypocrites there. No one says that. I'm not going to work because there's hypocrites there. No, there's hypocrites everywhere. Okay. Now, we hope that God unhypocritizes you. God wants to take your life and turn upside down. Now, if you don't want that, you got the wrong God. You got the wrong God. God wants to take your life and turn it upside down. Now, upside down is not bad, because what's right side up to you is upside down. He wants to flip it. That's what they're talking about. Let's read chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Acts. Chapter 1, Acts. It says, verse 1, the former, this is the author writing, the former account I made. Who's the author? Very good. Everyone say it on time. 1, 2, 3, on time. Very good. O Theophilus, which is a person, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented alive himself after his sufferings by many infallible proofs. This is a long sentence. Being seen during 40 days. How many days was Jesus on the earth before he ascended to heaven? Say 40. 40. How many days was Jesus on the earth before he ascended into heaven after he resurrected from the dead? How many? 40. How many days did Jesus walk fast in the desert at the beginning of his ministry and be tempted by the devil? 40. Everyone say 40. 40. He started his ministry with 40 days in the desert, and he ended his ministry with 40 days after the resurrection. Okay. Verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is who? Say Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. In Acts, the fifth book, the Holy Spirit comes. In the Gospels, Jesus modeled and talked about what it was like to live the life. In Acts, we see people live it. This is the beginning. So the Gospel sets it up. Now the book of Acts, it happens. Okay, and look what it says. Verse 6, verse 5, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Oh, by the way, see where it says wait, verse 4, but wait for the promise. Everyone say wait. God said, listen, I want y'all to not do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. Let me break it down to an everyday level. When you wake up in the morning, how many of y'all hate to wake up and get out of the bed in the morning? Just love sleep. Amen? Sleep is the bomb, ain't it? It's like God created just that. Love sleep. I was so mad this morning when I got up. I was feeling all sicky, achy and sicky. I was like, some days I wake up and don't know what day it is. Any of y'all wake up and not know what day it is? Yeah, I was like, what day is it? It's Sunday. I was like, oh, I got to work today. I was like, God, can't I just stay here for today? And you wake up, and when you wake up and you don't want to get out of bed for whatever reason, every day, this is just an encouragement to you, wait for God to tell you, go. Someone asks you out, hey girl, can I have your number? Wait. Wait. Slow. You want to weed dudes out? Ladies, wouldn't you love to weed out knuckleheads? Let me tell you a real simple weeding process. Ask him to pray for you. Not when he goes home. Right now. Pray for me right now. And if that brother goes, how many, I'll lay me down and sleep. I say, Lord, my soul to keep. That ain't the wrong guy. Hope he starts praying for his food while he's got his hand on your shoulder. Hey, you know, that's the wrong guy. But wait. Everyone say wait. He told the disciples, something's going to happen. I don't want you to do anything until the Holy Spirit comes, because you cannot do what I'm going to ask you to do without God. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You can't. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about transformation in your heart. You can't. So he says, wait. If Jesus told his apostles to wait, of course, what do you think he's going to say to you? Duh. No, I'm better than the apostles. I don't need. Shut up. Verse 7. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But here's verse 8. Here's the verse. But you shall receive power. Everyone say power. Power. Everyone take a deep breath in. I want you to say it strong like you mean to say power.
Power.
You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, the Espiritu Santo, has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Watch this. I'm going to give you a word picture. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Say Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
San Diego.
San Diego.
Judea. California, Samaria, United States of America, and the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth. Where? Everywhere. Y'all are slow. You should have got that the first time. Every street, every corner, every zip code, every person in our city, first. You shall be my witnesses everywhere. Not go to church only. But I want you to be my witnesses everywhere. In a couple weeks, we're going to talk about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit finally came. 3,000 people got saved at one time. Boom. Boom. And those 3,000 people from all over the world, here's what God did. He brought the world to the gospel. And then he sent the gospel to the world. Boom. Okay? Look at number 3 in your notes. We're going to get right to number 3. You already did 1 and 2. You didn't know it. I did it on the slide. Say, be a witness. Say, I want to be a witness. Say, I want to be a witness. Say, I don't know how to sing. Okay. I was trying to make something up, but I ran out of. Verse 8. You shall receive power. Say, I want power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon me, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Everyone say witness. In your notes, you will see that the Greek word for witness, the root word is martus. Martus is where you get the word martyr. You're going to be my martyrs. You are going to lay your life down for me in all the world. Oh, I thought I was just praying to go to heaven. I thought I was just praying to become a Christian so I could have a Bible. Oh, no. You're going to be a martyr. If you want to follow Christ, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, die, and then you can follow him. You didn't know that was what Christianity was about. That's why the world ain't getting turned upside down, because people ain't being martyrs. 3A, a witness is a person who has and shares experiential knowledge of God. You are someone who has and you share experiential knowledge of God. Tell me what God has done in your life. Tell someone else what God has done in your life.
Oh no. I know that people at our church get saved, and I know that those gang members got saved, and that guy over there is married. Hey,
tell me about you. That's good that you have all that. It's good that you hear all that. But what has he done in your life? How has he transformed your health, your diet, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you walk? My wife and I, about 5 months ago, we moved out of a rental house we were in, and our house that we were moving into wasn't ready, so we had 4 months and we didn't have a house. So technically, we weren't homeless, but we didn't have a home. So we lived with my sister. And we get along great, my sister and her family, but we had a one bedroom was our whole world. So I would get out of bed and my office was right there. The closet, it was my clothes, well, a few of us, our clothes, her clothes, and then my niece's clothes. We shared a bathroom with 5 people. It was like we were in college, going to the bathroom, all these towels and washcloths everywhere and everybody's stuff. It was like 4 months. It was cool. I mean, really, it was really cool. But we had our only exclusive space was the bedroom. Now, we get along great with the family. They say, hey, do whatever you want, but you really can't. You know what I'm saying? It's like I go down and, hey, I want the TV over there. I don't like the color of the wall. I'm move the furniture around. You can't do that. My brother-in-law had his man cave. You know, it's his man cave. He had, you know, different rules about the TV. He likes the TV loud. I don't like the TV loud. You know, so it's like it's his house. It ain't my house. Can I get an amen? Amen. So even though we had keys, we really would just go to our room. I mean, we didn't really go to our room, but that was the only place we could really do whatever we wanted. The rest of the house was their house. Can I get an amen if you know what I'm talking about? Amen. A lot of times we do that to God. We receive Christ into our heart, and then we put him in his room. We don't give him full reign. He's in his room. We say, you stay in your room. Now, when we go to church on Sunday, you can come out. But when we get back in the car in the parking lot, you got to go back in your room. And don't be trying to come out when I'm at work or when I'm, you know, you know, happy hour. Don't be trying to come out. Got to have my space. Trying to get my boogie down. No, you stay. And then that guy that I said asked to pray for you, you say, hey, can you pray? And he goes, well, you know, I don't pray. And Jesus is trying to say, warning, you say, be quiet. He's really cute. I'm going to make this work. And he's saying, no, it ain't, and it don't. What is your experience? It's probably very limited because you got Jesus in the room. Not acceptable. That is not a Christian. It's in your head. When you give your life to Christ, key word, life. When you surrender to Christ, key word, surrender. It's not, give me a little fire insurance from hell so when I die, I can show my policy. Come on, God, you gotta let me in. Here's my policy. I can't go to hell. Oh, yeah, you will go to hell. People going to hell don't think they're going to hell. So witness is someone who says, I have experience. Here's what God has done in my life. And I want to tell you about it. When's the last time you told somebody about what God's doing in your life? When? Now, invite them to church, that's great. And technically, you're being a witness, but I'm not counting that. Hey, guess what? Someone happened at my church to this person. Great, I ain't counting that. I'm counting this. Here's what God did to me. I need to tell you what God did to me. If you can't say that, do you have God? Because there is no way the God of the universe has come and consumed your life and you ain't got nothing to talk about. That just didn't happen. Two Super Bowls ago, my daughter's fellow employee in New York City, wanted to go to the Super Bowl because the Giants went, and I happened to have a friend who had tickets, and da-da, we got them tickets, and it was just long, I never met this guy, you know, we sent the tickets through the mail, money through the mail, and he went to the Super Bowl, and he sent me a picture of him with his Giant uniform in the stadium. It was great. And I happened to see him last week, a year later, and he was just telling me all about what happened. There is no way that brother went to the Super Bowl to see his team play, and his team won, and him not tell me about it. It's impossible. You go to Super Bowl? Oh, yeah. I don't remember any of it. Police! You know God? You know God? And you ain't talking about God? Come on. You incognito. You hiding. You ain't nobody see you. You didn't know you were black. You need to come out of the closet. 3A, a witness must deny self to make room for their experiential knowledge. In other words, if you want to have a God experience, you got to say no to you. Say, walking with God ain't about me. That was a very poor attempt. Let's try one more time. Take a deep breath in. Say, walking with God is not about me. It's not. It's about him. Is it going to impact you? Yes, but it's about him. You got to say, Lord, I'm going to move myself out of the way because I want all of you. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about being takers. We come to church, I want my music, I want my sermon, I don't want them to talk too loud, I don't want to talk too long, I don't want people in my way in the parking lot, it's all about me. Come with a servant's heart. Whatever, God, I'll sit wherever you want. If I get that space, if I have to walk a little extra, if there's somebody you want me to talk to, it ain't about me. It's just not. Period. It's about him. And you want God to do something in your life, you got to get out of the way. That's why when you fast, it is an act of self-denial. I am denying myself of what I think I need. Definitely what I want. Definitely. Self-denial. And we live in Burger King land. Have it your way. That ain't reality. That's not reality. Number three, a witness will suffer persecution for sharing that experiential knowledge. You will be persecuted. Oh, all through the book of Acts, guess what happened to the apostles? They got falsely accused over and over and over again. They got arrested over and over and over again. They got beat over and over and over again. They got stoned over and over and over again. They got murdered. Well, why would I want that? Because of what you get in the end. When I turned 40, I started losing my sight. You know, reading glass sight. Not blind, but just I couldn't read paper, words. And I was like, it ain't happening. This can't be happening. And then I started reading like this. Started getting far away. And my arm got too, it wasn't long enough, so I had to get glasses. Now I got bifocals. I can't see far or short. So right now I got my glasses off. I don't see any people. I hear you. I smell you. But I can't see you. Even people down here, I can't see. I just see blur. It's like I'm underwater. Just kind of. But if I do this, blot out. Yeah, look at all these people. That's out. All these different people. That's out. When you deny yourself, it's like all of a sudden, you get to see. I don't need that car. That person's not really my friend. That person who's been talking behind my back, they got pain. I need to pray for them. Everything changes. Those people who are talking behind my back, I'm going to go talk to them. Because I realize it ain't about me. They got an issue with God. You're going to get persecuted. But what you get to see is you get to see life from a whole different perspective, that what you thought was important is not important. What you thought was good was not good. And what you thought was bad is now good. It's a whole different world. And the reason that God is not using us to the fullest is because we're walking according to the rules of the world instead of the rules of God. We see life the world's way, not God's way. Number four, or 3D. Oh, by the way, in Revelation, the Bible talks about, I'm going to read it to you. I think the verses I put in your notes in Revelation says, I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Martyrs, martus, witnesses. When you read martyr, you think of martus, you think of witness. Don't think of someone on the corner preaching. Think of a martyr. I die. Why? Because God gifted you, planted you, and will empower you to use you the way he wants, where he wants, how he wants, because it's all about him. Some of you are really good with numbers. How many of y'all are good with numbers? He does not want you to try to administrate or be some word person. How many of you hate math, but you like words? Stop counting. Don't take a job where you got to count. Does that mean numbers are bad? No, it just means you need to stay away from them. Why? Because God is going to have you work with someone who likes numbers. How many of you are really organized? Okay, how many of you are really artistic? Different people. The artistic people are like this. Can I get any artistic people? Nothing is straight. Everything's got to be, whoa, hey, there's another way of looking at that. Hey, what about this? And when the linear person's like, no, just line it all up. And then art people come and mess it all up. Why? Because God said y'all need each other. And I am going to, it's up to me to put all y'all together through the Holy Spirit so it works. But when everyone's like, no, I'm getting what I want, And some of y'all are fighting against who God made you to be. You're trying to be something God did not make you be, and it ain't working out. And it will never work out. Some of y'all are with people God doesn't want you to be with. It'll never work out. It just won't. You're pursuing a career God did not create you to do. It ain't going to work out. Sorry. You can pray all you want. It ain't going to work out. Some of y'all think y'all are happy because this is all you know. It's blur. You ain't happy. You ain't as happy as you could be. And then when you do this, you're like, what? I can see. All this time I was thinking I was seeing. Now I can see. I'm fighting the flu. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm healthy. 3D. I'm like 150 degrees up here. 3D. The testimony of the witness will bring about eternal blessings to the kingdom of God. Oh, this is what I love this one. Now, I love numbers. I count things for entertainment. Now, you can say that's weird. That's fine. It's weird for you. It ain't weird for me. And it ain't weird for God because God counts too. So if you don't like numbers, you don't like God. Can I get any more numbers, people? Five of us. It's power in numbers. Okay, so here's the deal. If you read the Bible and you really pay attention, God measures things with numbers twice in every chapter on average. Matter of fact, chapter 1, on the first day of creation, on the second day of creation, on the third day of creation, on the fifth day, fourth day, and the fifth day. Over and over and over. He got numbers coming out of his ears. You can't measure anything without a number, even love. How do you know God loves you? He gave his one and only son. That's a big deal. What if he had 1,000 sons? Oh, I'll give you one. I got 999 more. Don't worry about it. Take it. He said, I only got one. That's important. He also said a man had 100 sheep and he lost one. He left the 99 to go look for the one. Why? To show you the importance of the one. Numbers. Ladies, you know God loves you by how many times he tells you. All ladies say, hey. And you know he loves you by, and this is not a number thing, even though you can measure it with a number, his tone, how many times he gives you roses or gifts, how long in inches those stems are of the roses, how many roses there are, all that stuff. Yeah, can I get an amen from ladies in the house? Amen. You know what I'm saying? You count stuff all the time. Ladies, you measure your man's response time when you walk in the room with a new outfit. How long is it taking him to say you look beautiful? Fellas, you better know the math of your woman. Because she got math. In the book of Acts, Acts 2:41. You don't have to read this right now. 3,000 people got saved. Who counted that? No, they want you to know 3,000. Acts 4:4, 5,000. 5,000. Who counted that? Let me read some more. These aren't specific numbers, but someone was counting something to get these words. Large numbers were added to the Lord. Churches increased in number daily. Disciples were increasing in number. The church built up and multiplied. The word grew and multiplied. Many Bereans believed. Thousands of Jews believed. Many devout Jews and proselytes followed the Lord. Many priests. I have many people in this city. Many will come over and over and over. What's the point? The point is that the church was doing this. Boom, 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 boom. Because the Spirit was flowing. Versus, I'm going to come to church. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to put my Jesus in my little box. God says, I don't want that. I want to turn the world upside down. So next week, we go on our fast. And I pray you do something, something, fast to some length, that God's going to turn your world upside down. And if he turns your world upside down, he could turn our world upside down. And if he turns our world upside down, he could turn this city upside down. So my prayer is that you be praying about that. Lord, I really want to, I want you to have your way with me. I want to live the life. Everyone say the life. I want to live the life that you prescribed in your word. That's my prayer. Before we take an offering and pray and dismiss you, let me say this. A lot of work goes into these services. We have five every Sunday. The worship team, the sound, light, video people, the planning all week long. We have 200 and something employees here at The Rock. They're doing stuff 7 days a week. We have thousands of volunteers doing ministry in the city around the world 7 days a week. And we do it all so out of obedience to God that God is doing something in the world. For some of you, this is your only experience is right here. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. And if you only experience this, and you only experience us in this hour, your perception may be that this is what we do. Matter of fact, I had a friend of mine, he was joking, but he came to churches like you and he didn't know anything else. He said, what do you do during the week? As though I just wait around for Sunday. Which is couldn't be the first thing from the truth. Though this is a lot of work, this is the easiest part of the week. Though it's a lot of work because we do five of them, there's a lot of energy. But my point in telling you all this is that you don't, in your mind, view your Christianity as this hour and 15 minutes. And that you come here, and if it blesses you, that you being blessed is affirmation that you're walking with God and everything's okay. Don't equate those two things. It's yes or no. It doesn't. There's so much more to it than that. And I would encourage you to really think about, especially as we go into this fast, am I really going to do it? And if I'm not, why? Or if I only do 5 days, why? Or am I really saying to God, God, I really want to see what you have? A lot of people are scared to get a lot of God. What if he makes me into something like a nerd? You already are to some people. Can I get amen? Amen. You are a lot of negative things to a lot of people already. So you already lost that battle. So you might as well just be what God calls you to be and let people persecute you for that. So again, go out and get your fasting books. Go to the thing, bookstore, whatever you get on, go online. But let's really think about doing this thing. Matter of fact, we have a reading plan in the Bible where you can read through the Bible. This year, we're reading through the whole Bible. I know a lot of y'all haven't done that. Get the word in you. Give God an opportunity, and he, the miracles that you hear about other people having, you'll start having. Amen? Get your offering out. We're going to pray for the offering. Our pastoral support team is going to come up front. If you have that white and orange envelope, every Sunday we have, every service, we have our pastoral support team here to pray with you, encourage you, answer your questions. So just know that that is always here for you. Let's hold your offering up. If you have that, if you're online and you're giving online, thank you very much. Some of you already give online automatically out of your checking or whatever. Thank you very much for doing that. Lord, we pray for our church and we pray we can be obedient. We pray that we would let you turn our life upside down. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a clear vision for how you want to use us. I pray you give people courage to fast. We pray you heal the sick people who are fighting stuff, that you touch their body. We pray you bless this offering, multiply it, bless the giver, provide jobs for people, increase people's profit in their business, give them wisdom on how to spend their money. Bless them that they may enjoy it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. See y'all next week.